This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So, one of the country's worst mayors, Bill de Blasio, he just dropped out of the Democratic primaries. He made the announcement earlier today on Morning Joe on MSNBC.
These last months, I've had an extraordinary experience going all over this country.
Just real quick, I'll let him finish in a second. Do you really think it was an extraordinary experience? So extraordinary. It was so amazing to get rejected by virtually everyone, and now you're forced to drop out of the race just a few months after announcing you were running. Do you think it was really that extraordinary? Why can't he just be honest? Look, I met a whole bunch of people who I thought were smart, but clearly they're not because they're not voting for me. Just be honest. See, you know what? Iowa sucks. I had to go to Iowa. You know how many times? It's no Manhattan. Nowhere in Iowa is anywhere near what I love in Manhattan. And oh my gosh, this is an armpit. And the people there are awful. And none of them support. Like, just that's what he's thinking. He just doesn't want to say it because he knows that that's politically bad.
And I want to tell you, I actually think it's a lot better country than what we often see portrayed.
It's such a great country that all of the candidates who are actually tracking well from the Democratic side are ones who fundamentally want to change this country. That's how much we love it. We want to change it.
There's a lot more unity out there. There's a lot more hope. Folks don't like this moment of division and anger. They want to get by it. I'm finding that people of all ideologies want to get by it. There's a lot of activism. I think there's going to be extraordinary voter turnout. So there's some really encouraging things happening in this country.
Oh, so but there are encouraging things happening, but you want to fundamentally change it. But okay, cool. Got it. And the thing with Bill de Blasio is he's a fringe candidate. He's very far to the left, but he's not far enough to the left, which is kind of weird because I view him as a very fringe candidate. He doesn't really benefit anyone right now, though. You're going to see a couple of tweets here and there. I know Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders already put out their tweets saying, you know, it was really good to have you a part of this. We wish you all the best of luck, that kind of thing. And, you know, you put that out because maybe you would get like a handful of his supporters to go over to you. But the fact of the matter is, Bill de Blasio got such marginal support that it doesn't matter. They're not going to go into your camp. It's the same thing that we saw when Jay Inslee decided to finally drop out of that embarrassing race for president. You send a couple tweets out there, you get maybe a little bit of support, you thank the guy, and then you move on, and then you forget that he even exists. And I'm not being dishonest when I say I almost kind of forgot that Jay Inslee is the governor of Washington State. There's a story out there right now about how he's back to being focused on Washington State. He's done with this delusional campaign, and now he's really ready, put his head down, and get to work. Of course, he doesn't actually want to be here. He wanted to be a presidential candidate. He wanted to be president. He has no passion for Washington State. And you can kind of almost hear it in the way he talks. He was talking with our sister station, Cairo Radio, and weirdly, he was trying to make this argument that because he highlighted some issues that are important to him, that his campaign was ultimately a success.
It was a pleasure to wave the Washington flag around the country. I think it was helpful to raise the discussion level and the profile of the need to save our state and our nation from the ravages of climate change.
He kind of sounds like he's just phoning it. I mean, it was on the phone, so I mean, that's part of it. But it kind of just sounds like, yeah, I'm really passionate about Washington State. I'm so glad that we were able to do this. But of course, I'm still not going to pay back the state for taking all that money for security, even though I could have had my campaign do it.
There is funds that are returned that are for the general election that could not be used. And we're following the law of the executive protection.
Yeah,
okay,
we got it. He's not even trying. There's just no enthusiasm in his voice. Which, by the way, I will say this. I'm okay with that. No enthusiasm in Jay Inslee's voice. We got a bunch of people who are running for governor from the Republican side who are really good candidates. There might be one or two more people throwing their names in the ring. Any of them can probably beat Jay Inslee. He's vulnerable. So I can't wait for that. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
So Seattle just lost another car share service. It's Lime Pod this time. They're closing down by, I believe, the end of October. Seattle is notoriously difficult to operate in, and if you rely on a car for business purposes, if your whole business is about car culture, you're not going to be able to survive in Seattle. Yesterday, we told you how the mayor's office is going after Uber and Lyft with these new taxes. They're doing that because they don't value any of these companies that rely on cars. And LimePod realized they just can't exist in this kind of market. Reach Now, the other one, closed down a couple months ago, three, 4 months ago, something like that. So the only one that's out there right now is Car2Go. Hopefully that sticks around, because that's the only way I get into a car most of the time, is I rent one of these rideshare cars. GeekWire says a Lime spokesperson said the pilot was an experiment to test the economics of car sharing with the goal of replacing the entire fleet with electric vehicles. Lime says it is shutting down the LimePod service because it couldn't find a partner to deploy an electric fleet. Now, if you were in a market that truly cared about helping businesses, this would not have happened the way it did. I was thinking about this earlier today because I've got a blog coming out on Monday about the tax on Uber and Lyft, and we'll get into it in more details on Monday. But, you know, this is a city that loves to talk about how much they care deeply about technology, about these businesses. We're innovators here, except they treat innovators just like bank accounts. People that they can go to take as much money from for as long as you possibly can. And that's what they've been doing with Lime Bikes, their bike share company, where they are taking money. They are charging an arm and a leg just to operate here, not realizing that ultimately they're making it harder for these companies to exist. They did it with Amazon. They went after Amazon hard. Now, finally, Amazon decided to fight back, and that pushed the council away. Push the mayor's office away. But when it comes to these other companies, they're just all in because they do not like technology so much as they can just take money and then move on. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Celebrity news.
Sean Spicer has become so likable. He's so likable because of Dancing with the Stars. He was on, of course, earlier in the week. He was doing that salsa dance to Spice Girls music for some reason. And it was a disaster of a performance.
Carrie-Anne Inaba.
Four.
Okay. Len Goodman.
Four.
Bruno Tognoli.
Four.
4 out of 10. That's not good. And you kind of knew it was going to go in a bad way when you get a result like this.
Well, I admire your courage coming on this show. And as the others have said, you brought fun to the ballroom. Well done.
Yeah, because he was smiling and he was clearly having fun, which was very likable in that regard. Like, he just seemed like he was having fun. And you look at an adult who's doing this in front of a whole millions of people, making an ass out of himself, and you're like, oh, that's so kind of adorable. But when you're told you sure look like you had fun, that's not really a sign that you're going to give him a good... It's like you go out there and you play a sport, whether it's football or baseball or soccer. When you come back to the coach and he goes, okay, coach, how'd I do? And they look at you and they go, well, I mean, you look like you had a blast. Did you have a blast?
A for effort, right?
That's kind of what it is, except not even an A in this case. A 4 out of 10. That's
an F.
Well. But he's doing something that makes him even more likable. He told Fox News earlier today that he's auctioning off the very yellow, ugly shirt that he wore on Dancing with the Stars, and he's doing it because he wants to benefit a pair of charities.
I'm really not sure it has many other purposes, so I'm good to let it go for a good cause, and that's what we're doing today. There's two causes that are near and dear to me. The Yellow Ribbon Fund, which take care of caregivers for injured service members, and the Independence Fund that provides tracked wheelchairs to those injured service members. And so we're going to auction the shirt off. Someone might want a great Halloween costume. Halloween's just around the corner. You might be a huge Dancing with the Stars memorabilia collector, whatever it is. If you go to Spicer Arnold today, or Lindsay Arnold's my partner. Spicer Arnold's our campaign site. If you go to that today, there's a bid on that. You can go to the charity site and to make a donation, or a bid rather. And then whatever proceeds we get, we're going to split them and donate them to both the Yellow Ribbon Fund and the Independence Fund.
That's kind of awesome. And part of the whole issue behind all of this is, like, you've got folks who want to pretend that he should never be seen from or heard of again because of his involvement with the Trump administration. They said that we should absolutely boycott the whole thing. Don't watch, because how dare they give this guy a platform? He's an evil person. And then all of our experience with Sean Spicer, remember, you and I know who Sean Spicer is because we follow the news so closely, But there are a lot of people who don't. They maybe watch it here or there, but they're not really paying that close attention. And so they are hearing that, oh, Sean Spicer is supposed to be a bad dude. And then they hear things like this. All of a sudden, maybe that changes their mind a little bit. And the crazy people who want to pretend that he's such an awful person simply because he's tied to Trump, they start to look really, really bad. I'm on their website now, by the way. They're not raising that much money yet. Should I put in a bid? I mean, it's $3,600 right now.
It's a good cause, man.
I know, but that's a lot of money. There's only been 16 bids.
Well, he's not really a celebrity, is he?
I mean, not really, but still. SpicerArnold.com if you want to go there. It sounds like amazing organizations to get behind. So if you have some money, you can go there right now, SpicerArnold.com. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. If you want to go behind the scenes of the show, fire up that Instagram app. Search for the screen name Jason Rantz. It's one word, JasonRantz. Give me a follow. See a lot of fun videos and photos behind the scenes of the show in the studio and, you know, things that I'm doing in my own life, like getting a cup of coffee. Sometimes I just take a video of me drinking coffee and I pretend that people are interested in it. So if you are interested in it, give me a follow. Jason Rantz on Instagram. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in King County?
News for the city of Seattle. A number of warehouse staff members, we're not entirely sure how many, mistakenly destroyed 107 DNA swabs in their evidence warehouse. It, by all accounts, was a mistake, but there is an investigation. Joining me in studio with more is Hannah Scott, our friend from our sister station, Kyle Radio. So take us through exactly what happened.
So this is kind of actually a big deal and a little bit of a longer story. We're talking about DNA swabs for those who were convicted of misdemeanor sex crimes or domestic violence crimes. Back in 2014, the state crime lab stopped accepting these types of samples from the city of Seattle, from SPD, basically because of a glitch in a technicality glitch. The language for the state code for these crimes was not the same as the city code, mm-hmm. so they had to fix that. It took forever. City Attorney Pete Holmes lobbied the legislature to get a change in state law to fix this for a long time. Finally, this last session, they got that, at which point the city went ahead and passed what it needed to do to come in line with that so that we could get these over to the state crime lab. And the importance there is that this is all about building up the
database.
The amount of the database, right? The National Criminal Database, CODIS, to match to other crimes.
And these are the people, that we want to have in the system because they've already shown a willingness to break laws.
Right. Because some of the crimes we're talking about here is like assault in the fourth degree with sex motivation, communicating with a minor for immoral purposes, stalking, violating a protection order for sexual assault, and various things like that. And harassment, all of those things have history of sometimes leading to criminals who, you know, go a little further.
And there's a high recidivism rate for some of these people in the world of either raping or other domestic violence. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And they excel, right? They go from whatever they're doing here to something worse.
They start low and then they get really despicable.
And then the other thing is we want to build up that database because especially here over the last several years, cold cases that are being solved because of this DNA database, right? We want to have these in there so that they can match to murders mm-hmm. from decades ago, which has happened many times in our state. So that being said, City Attorney Pete Holmes and Lorena Gonzalez, they teamed up on legislation Councilmember Lorena Gonzalez, they teamed up to get the legislation passed to get this done. By that time, we had 650 total DNA samples here in Seattle that were going to be sent to the state crime lab. They were trying to do that right now. This last week, they realized, oh no, 107 of those are destroyed. SPD came right out and said that had happened. Not a lot as to how that happened. Mayor Durkin was asked, though, yesterday about it.
Chief Best and I both were very dismayed that this happened. They were transferred from the King County system to the Seattle Police Department system. There wasn't the right paperwork in place, and for a series of circumstances that occurred, they were accidentally destroyed.
So, as for what the city is going to do about it?
Chief Best did the absolute right thing. She contacted the Inspector General and said, I want you to investigate to make sure that this never happens again. It's really unfortunate that it happened. We're investigating to determine what those samples reflected in terms of the types of offenders. And we're also putting in place the procedures we have to have in place to make sure that doesn't happen again.
So here's a question based on what you just said. We know that it impacted 107 samples. Let's assume it's 107 individuals and not multiple samples for one person. They don't have records to clearly identify who was behind them?
So they they absolutely should, and that remains to be seen. I have not
her comment made it sound like they're trying to figure out who it belonged to.
She didn't even seem to know that these are sex offenders. To be fair, this was at the Uber tax press conference, and she was a bit caught off guard by the question, I think. But you know, just expressed her unhappiness and what she knew about it. I don't know that she realized what these offenders were, but they're absolutely those sex offenders and domestic violence misdemeanor offenders that legislation was passed for back in July.
So we know. Again, let's just go with we know who it belongs to. We're not able to just go back to them and recollect.
So that's the question. I am trying to find that out right now. Sexual assault survivors here in Seattle also want to know. This is Leah Griffin. She talked with Essex Porter over at Cairo 7 TV. She helped push this legislation through at the state level to resolve this issue, and she's mad.
These are known predators. They've been convicted of crimes. The police, if they wanted to put in the effort to really make this right, would go out and recollect that evidence.
So right now I'm trying to determine whether that is...
Yeah, because legally speaking, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, and I don't know why you wouldn't be able to. They're convicted unless there's a certain amount of time because it's a misdemeanor that maybe you can't. I don't know, but I'm trying to get that answered.
Well, it's a big mess. Hopefully it does end up resolving itself. My assumption is they're going to treat this with a sense of urgency because of how major a screw-up this was, and then try to figure out, okay, if this was a mistake, are there any policies that we can put in place, procedures we can put in place to make sure this doesn't happen again,
and
essentially?
That's what the mayor
said there. No one thinks that there was any nefarious intent. They were saying from the beginning.
It sounds like these were taken and over at the King County Jail, maybe, and then they were transferred over to the SPD warehouse.
Total mistake. Not nefarious, but it's a serious mistake. And, you know,
very serious
when something like this happens, it causes a whole bunch of not just concern over the process, but also you're re-traumatizing potentially victims of these monsters.
Right. So, and potentially not catching someone who may be committing another crime.
It's disturbing. We got more details up at our sister website, mynorthwest.com. Thanks for stopping by, Hannah Scott.
You bet.
Listening to the Jason Rand Show, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The weird world of clickbait.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those clickbait stories because it doesn't really mean anything in the grand scheme of things other than, I suppose, to highlight stupid people. There is a bookmaker in the United Kingdom called Ladbrokes, which I see all the time when I'm in London. I always kind of want to go in because you get to gamble on a whole bunch of stuff, including, it turns out, presidential elections. And according to Matthew Shattuck, the head of their political betting division, Hillary Clinton is leading the pack when it comes to the number of bets people have made saying she's going to get the nomination. That's kind of weird and scary. And it either means that these people are incredibly ignorant as to what's happening in the United States, which I'm incredibly ignorant for the most part of what's happening in the United Kingdom, or perhaps they just hate all the other candidates, and maybe there's something to be learned from that, because the United Kingdom, certainly in places where Ladbrokes is doing the best in some of these densely populated spots, like in London, they tend to be quite progressive, and they don't like the people here who are running, or maybe they think they're too far to the left. I just think that it's kind of interesting. Now, for Shattuck, he told Newsweek, "We're baffled, to be honest. We've taken more bets on her to be the Democratic candidate than any of the other runners. Her odds are still bad. She's at 20-1 to actually get it, which is actually better than I thought it would be for someone who is not running to become president and to get... I don't get that. 21's not that bad. It's not the worst.
I don't gamble. I don't know.
I don't gamble either, but they're saying you have 20-1 odds. You make 20 times your money.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. Ladbrokes currently has Elizabeth Warren as the front runner, 6-4 odds, and Joe Biden at 5-2, followed by Bernie Sanders, 5-1 odds, Andrew Yang, Kamala Harris, and Pete Buttigieg, 16-1. It's so obviously, if you put your money on Hillary, you can make the most money, and they are a little bit concerned on the off chance that that does happen. But it feels like the House will win this one. I don't think Ladbrokes has anything to worry about. I think you're all good. I wonder when I go, because I'm going back to London for Thanksgiving, because when other people go to the family, I go as far away from my family as humanly possible. I should put some money down, because I'm going to be doing better than any... Is that legal, an American, to gamble there?
Why not? Cash it in. do it.
Well, it'll be November. I could have to hang on to the stub.
You're in London like 5 times a year, it seems like.
Yeah. 3.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm trying to do the math in my head. I'll put some money down. 1-800-465-8770. That's how you send us a text on the Numb Better Tax Resolution Hotline. 1-800-465-8770.
Bellingham, Bellevue, Shoreline, Tacoma.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rand Show.
Olympia, Everett, Mercer Island.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Yo. Hey, look at the time. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller Smiles by Design. The concept is very simple. The media is always hyper-focused on the city of Seattle, and they end up giving not a lot of attention to stories that are important all across the state of Washington. So we do the opposite. We're spending our time focused on the stories that impact you most, where you actually live, and we completely ignore the city of Seattle. And we've got a little bit of a theme for today's Big Local. People doing stupid things in schools. And we start with an especially disturbing thing that happened to a Bellingham 11-year-old kid. A kid who's living with autism. He has an autoimmune disorder. His name is Lucas, and he does best when we're talking about studying in quiet places. And I assume that when you're an 11-year-old kid in school, probably struggles to find that quiet place so you can study. Well, his teacher found him a spot. It just so happens that the teacher found a spot in a bathroom. The teacher moves his desk to a bathroom. He goes to Whatcom Middle School. His mom is understandably pissed off.
The teacher informed us that he would be studying in the bathroom in a napping mat. So he was expected to use that mat to sleep on the bathroom floor.
That's an adult who made that decision for this kid. The mom's name is Danielle. She told Como TV that she could not believe that this was actually happening to her son.
I was so shocked. I just took the picture because I didn't even believe what I was seeing. It's not an appropriate place for anyone, but especially for Lucas, who with his PANDAS condition can't really be around germs. That's something that can really affect his body.
Yeah, so you're putting the kid in a bathroom who's got an issue if he were to be in contact with too many germs. Now, when the mom found out that this had happened, she asked the teacher if there was another option, and the teacher was all like, nope.
We are still waiting to hear from the district. Great that they removed a desk, but that doesn't help my son's self-esteem, his embarrassment.
Now, I feel bad for this kid. They talked to him over at Como and Q13 King. Everyone had this story, and the kid is just confused and a little bit angry.
Stressed, embarrassed. I was like, how is this happening? How am I in the bathroom? Why? Oh, yeah, we'll just put him in the bathroom. Perfect space. That's not fine. You don't do that.
It's not fine. You don't do that. And that an 11-year-old can come to that very clear place and yet an adult can't is beyond me. And unfortunately, this kid, understandably upset, kind of doesn't even want to go back to school.
Never. Why? Because they put me in a bathroom.
Imagine what's going through this kid's head as he's thinking about whether or not he's going to trust the teachers in his life, the ones who decided to dismiss him by throwing him in a bathroom. Now, the spokesperson for the school sent a statement to Como News saying, I can tell you that we're aware of the situation, that we have taken immediate steps to remove the desk depicted in the photo and ensure that the space is not used as a learning space. While we aren't able to share specific details about our students, we can tell you that keeping our students safe and engaged in learning are our top priorities. Well, I mean, are they your top priority? Could you extend that priority to this teacher? They say we received a complaint this morning and we're continuing to investigate. I want to know what happens to this teacher who decided to make this move, because this is an adult who did this. Now, I totally understand that not everyone is going to be able to handle situations like this in the perfect way, right? When you've got someone who's dealing with an auditory learning disorder that maybe you're not familiar with, plus autism. I get you're just a teacher. You're not a doctor. Okay, I get it. There's no other way that you could have handled this than by putting a kid in a bathroom. That wasn't like a red flag internally as you were thinking about ways to go. I'm not saying don't in your head say, okay, where can I go? I guess there's the bathroom, but no one's going to put a kid there because that's just what you immediately do is say you don't do that. What's going to happen to this teacher? Remember, though, Washington State, like in most states, you're not allowed to say anything bad about a teacher because they're all precious and they're all perfect and everything they do is amazing. And boy, do they not get paid enough for only working a few months out of the year and getting summers off and also vacation with kids. But other than that, not allowed to say anything. Do you think this teacher is going to get disciplined in any meaningful way? There's no way. This teacher, I would fire this teacher immediately.
Absolutely. Me too. You don't think he's going to get disciplined at all?
Nothing meaningful will happen.
Better.
I guarantee you. Why do you say he? It could be a she.
She. Sorry.
Well, I thought you said gender. I didn't say anything. I just said teacher. I don't know.
I feel like it's a he. I don't know.
Things are fluid. You don't know what it is.
All right.
I have no idea. Whoever it is should be fired.
Women are smarter than men in general. Is that fair?
No, it's sexist.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I'm still
wrong.
Learning. I didn't Google that one. I'm sorry.
Well, Google it real quick.
Okay.
Men and women are equally intelligent or stupid.
Oh.
You're going to find a lot of really smart dudes and really dumb ladies and sometimes really smart ladies and sometimes really dumb dudes. Can we agree that regardless of what gender this teacher is, stupid and shouldn't have a job there? Because you should not trust your kid with this. Yeah. Unless there's something dramatic that we're missing from this story. And boy, there must be something dramatic if you want me to defend this teacher in any way. This is absurd. Meanwhile, in Wapato, middle schoolers were just sent home after seven of them ingested small tabs laced with a hallucinogenic substance. It's kind of crazy. It's a little bit in the funny department because no one was hurt. And frankly, I mean, just listen to this girl. She's an eighth grader who took care of one of her friends.
I personally knew one of the people that did it and was taking care of him most of the day. He was like weird. He was like tripping over everything, laughing at everything.
He was tripping.
Asking kids if they had more because he wanted more.
Because she's not aware of the lingo around this, because it looks very much like dropping acid, because they said they did an investigation. They found a small square blue tab imprinted with a picture of a boy riding a bicycle on it. And if you put that on your tongue, that's you dropping acid. And she says, the kid's tripping all over the place. She meant it literally. I also mean it literally, but just in a different sense of the word. The good news is everyone's fine. They did send some of the kids to the hospital as a precaution, but they said there's nothing going to be ultimately wrong, except maybe now they're just like looking to drop acid all the time. Because if you drop acid and you have a good experience, I have a feeling that like, that's pretty addictive. Especially if you're an eighth grader.
I've never done acid, have you?
I'm not. No. Huh. I'd be terrified to do that.
I'm kind of scared of it, too.
I would never do something like that. I don't have the gumption of these kids. It's kind of crazy that they ended up doing it. Parents are being asked to keep an eye out for the tabs and warned not to handle them with bare hands if they find one because the substance might be absorbed through the skin. They say students who ingest one of the tabs could display a wide variety of symptoms, including excitement. I'm kidding. That's not what it says. It says dilated eyes, intensified feelings. I'm not going to read the rest because it actually makes it sound like it's fun. And kids might be listening. Don't drop acid, children. That's wrong. Finally, out of Longview, a kid was riding along on the bus. He gets on. He's on his way to school. He's a young kid. I think he's like 8 or 9 years old. He notices a smell coming from from the bus driver. Smell of booze, but you know, it could be maybe that she just, you know, swigs some Listerine. Listerine is incredibly strong, especially if you're a young kid. You don't necessarily know, but then it kind of feels like the teacher, or the bus driver's drunk, so we had to call 911.
She's like wobbling, and then her eyes, you can tell she was drunk.
Did she smell of alcohol?
Yeah, her breath sort of smells like alcohol.
And you said she ran how many red lights?
About three red lights.
Yeah, and before you're saying, which I think a valid response to this would be, okay, does the kid really know what he's talking about? We're talking about a 7-year-old kid. They have active imaginations. No, it would appear that she was actually drunk, because according to the cops, they say they arrested her. Her name is Catherine Macarone. Accusing her of driving under the influence, they said they could smell intoxicants coming from her when she was arrested, and now she faces charges of DUI and reckless endangerment. She could face more charges as the investigation continues, but yeah.
How does this kid know what alcohol smells like at such a young age?
You can tell. Kids must know.
He was young. That was a he, right?
I'm pretty sure it was a boy.
Okay.
But again, no judgment. I don't know.
But he sounded young.
He sounded very, very young.
So, like, I didn't know what alcohol in your breath smelled like at that age.
I'm just... Yeah.
Ooh.
I think... Now you've made me think about whether or not this... No, the kid did the right thing because he called 911. Because in my head, I'm thinking, well, why might a kid know what alcohol smells like at such a young age and immediately go to a bad place of abusive, drunken family members or something? But no, that you're not calling 911 if that's the relationship you have. You're not calling 911 on the parents, but you're telling the cops about the bus driver?
Free red lights?
This is insane. Again, lucky that no one actually got hurt. This poor kid. Keep slurring her words. At first, I thought she was dropping acid, but that was happening at my buddy's school in Wapato. We're a long way from there. We're Longview. I think she's drunk. Somebody help. That's insane.
It's wild. Absolutely wild.
And the funny thing is, I didn't find all these stories by happen. Like, we didn't go out looking for just education stories for the Big Local today. Just all just happened to fall into place. Just today was a crazy day for stupid people doing stupid things in schools.
Golly.
1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Or you can send me a tweet at twitter.com/JasonRants, including David. Thank you for sending me a tweet. Getting mad that I said that teachers only work a couple months a year. I didn't say a couple. I said a few. And it is a fact that teachers work only a few of the months out of the year. Not every year. Every month.
9 months.
That's you know how many months I work is 12? I'm just saying. How many months do you work?
Yeah, 12.
Okay, and they work 9.
That's all I'm saying. More than a few. More than a few.
That is a few.
A few is 3.
No, but
I don't know what calculator.
That's a little.
What math?
There's a couple,
meter.
There's little, there's a few, and there's a lot.
So 9 out of 12 would be considered
there's a
lot.
Few is 75%.
I don't know about that.
Oh, you know, well, who asked you?
I think you did.
Oh, you're
sure.
Right. I think I was looking at you. 1-800-465-877. Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show. Live in the Online Trading Academy studio, a whistleblower reported that the president said something to a foreign leader, possibly several times. Not sure entirely what it is, but the Wall Street Journal, rather, is saying it was related to Ukraine and possibly getting dirt on either Joe Biden or his son, who was doing some work in the country with the Ukrainian government. We do not actually have any confirmed details whatsoever, and yet people are already calling for impeachment. The president responded to the calls and this whistleblower report.
What story?
The whistleblower.
It's a partisan whistleblower. They shouldn't even have information. I've had conversations with many leaders. They're always appropriate. I think Scott can tell you that. Always appropriate. At the highest level, always appropriate. And anything I do, I fight for this country. I fight so strongly for this country. It's just another political hack job.
Now, we don't know if it's a political hack job. I do think we should probably wait to find out some of the details before we go crazy. But because we do not know what the quote-unquote promise that was made that this whistleblower alleges, we don't know if there's a cover-up. We don't know if there's even an underlying promise, despite what some folks like Adam Schiff has to say. Ben Shapiro on Twitter had a series of really good points about this. You've got potentially President Trump's team trying to get information from the Ukrainian government on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. That is not illegal. That is not illegal at all. Hillary Clinton did the exact same thing back in 2016. Now, as Ben points out, you might not like that. You might not like the way that looks, but it's not an illegality. There's nothing illegal there. However, if a promise was made, then it does get into that realm. What exactly was the promise? Let's actually find out. Now, so far, this whole idea of a quid pro quo thing is the exact same allegation against Joe Biden in regard to Hunter Biden, Ben points out. That Biden held up $1 billion in U.S. loan guarantees to get rid of a prosecutor that was targeting his son. Those claims have not been substantiated. But that's why Donald Trump is saying someone needs to look into this. Someone needs to find this out. Now, do I believe that maybe he said something like that to the Ukrainian government? Yes, I believe that. But again, that's not illegal. Now, it could have been illegal. There are people who are deciding, like Adam Schiff or Nancy Pelosi, who are using this as an opportunity to call for an impeachment. You're calling for an impeachment based on what? A report about a report that you have no details on? That's why Abby Huntsman over at The View was making a point that's like this.
With the foreign government, there's no other way that it would not be
true. You think Republicans would, he could do anything at all right now for him to be impeached.
I hate even talking about this because we don't know if he was working with Ukraine to trade information. Yes, that would cause him to be impeached. I have no doubt in my mind. The other side of that is this is a totally blown up story when we have no facts. There's no gray area. It's a black or white.
Know
and this is what we
things.
Do every
well,
single day. And that would give Trump all the more ammunition, if this isn't even true, to say, see, this is what the media does.
And not only would it give the president ammunition, it would deeply hurt Joe Biden. Because if some of this comes out and it does show that the Joe Biden camp was trying to manipulate things in Ukraine to give a pass to his son who may have acted illegally, that's going to haunt Joe Biden. That's not going to haunt Donald Trump, because Donald Trump can just say, I found out that he did something illegal and I was trying to look into it. Now, I don't think we need to go to the defense of Donald Trump in the same way that folks like Geraldo Rivera are weirdly going.
Regardless of what he worked for, who he worked for before, this is annoying. This is a punk who's snitching out the president's phone calls to a foreign leader. Imagine that the president, our leader, is talking to the leader of another country, and you got all these deep state people listening in,
from
and the first
party line.
Chance they get, they run to Adam Schiff and say, hey, we have this urgent serious leak, the president, and I know the president, I could see him on the phone, hey dude, you do this, we'll see.
Yeah, so I don't think we need to do the whole, you know what happens to snitches, right? Can you Google what happens to snitches and tell me what it comes up?
On it.
He's typing.
Snitches get stitches.
Oh, yeah, let's not go there. Okay, let's pull back a little bit. If someone, whistleblower, actually heard something illegal, they should report it. Now, I agree that they shouldn't go to the media and they shouldn't be leaking this kind of stuff to Adam Schiff. And the reason anyone would do, if that's in fact what happened, the reason they would do that is because, yes, they are in fact acting in a way that is clearly meant to be partisan. And that's where this becomes dangerous. And here's the deal. You hear time and time and time again, all these bombshell reports. Oh, we've got a bombshell from CNN, a bombshell from the New York Times. And then when you start to scrutinize them, it turns out, yeah, they're not bombshells. They're literal bombs. They don't go anywhere. They just try to pull this nonsense with Brett Kavanaugh. And at some point, even people who maybe don't like the president or maybe take a glass half empty approach to talking about the president and what he does because they don't like his rhetoric and whatnot. At some point, if you keep crying wolf and then don't have anything to back it up, it's not a wolf whatsoever. Maybe it's a little kitten that you thought was a wolf, and then you get really embarrassed. It's like, that's not a big deal. They're going to start ignoring you, and it's going to come and bite these folks on the backside when they actually do have an important story that people will assume isn't as important as they claim because you've burned them so many times in the past. And the president knows that, and that's why he's leaning into this the way that he is, saying, yeah, you should absolutely look into Joe Biden, but just remember, this is nothing but the media doing what the media does. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. It's the Jason Rantz Show.